Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau, Kaufmann nach BIFO 2016. Englisch, Hörverstehen, Serie 3. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A message on an answer phone.
Hi Kevin, this is Mirta from Sunshine Travel. I can offer you a special deal for the Cascades Resort in Soma Bay, Egypt. A 1 week all-inclusive is €675 per person. The transfer to and from Hurghada Airport takes about 20 minutes and is organised by the hotel too. Apart from food and drink, you get free access to the gym and spa. The only thing not included in the price is the use of the 18-hole golf course. But the fees are quite reasonable. You can also check out late until 3 p.m, which comes in handy as your flight home leaves at 22:10. For more information, you can visit their website, www.thecascades.com. That's www.thecascades.com. Please call me as soon as possible if you would like to profit from this package.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hi Kevin, this is Mirta from Sunshine Travel. I can offer you a special deal for the Cascades Resort in Soma Bay, Egypt. A 1 week all-inclusive is €675 per person. The transfer to and from Hurghada Airport takes about 20 minutes and is organised by the hotel too. Apart from food and drink, you get free access to the gym and spa. The only thing not included in the price is the use of the 18-hole golf course. But the fees are quite reasonable. You can also check out late until 3 p.m, which comes in handy as your flight home leaves at 22:10. For more information, you can visit their website, www.thecascades.com. That's www.thecascades.com. Please call me as soon as possible if you would like to profit from this package.
Now go on to part two. 2. A radio program.
Good morning. This is Greg Brown of Business Worldwide. I'm going to talk about the latest development in Swiss foreign trade, which is still struggling with the strong Swiss franc. Last month, exports dropped by 7.4% to 17.9 billion Swiss francs. This development varied widely from continent to continent. While exports to Africa rose by 25%, those to Asia fell by 15%. The biggest loss was caused by the United Arab Emirates, a minus of 39%, followed by South Korea, minus 26%. On the other hand, demand for imported goods went down too. Here, Africa tops the list with a minus of 50%, which is mainly due to the stop of oil imports from Algeria and Nigeria, rather than metals, which are currently good business. As for the sectors, here too we've found major changes from...
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Good morning. This is Greg Brown of Business Worldwide. I'm going to talk about the latest development in Swiss foreign trade, which is still struggling with the strong Swiss franc. Last month, exports dropped by 7.4% to 17.9 billion Swiss francs. This development varied widely from continent to continent. While exports to Africa rose by 25%, those to Asia fell by 15%. The biggest loss was caused by the United Arab Emirates, a minus of 39%, followed by South Korea, minus 26%. On the other hand, demand for imported goods went down too. Here, Africa tops the list with a minus of 50%, which is mainly due to the stop of oil imports from Algeria and Nigeria, rather than metals, which are currently good business. As for the sectors, here too we found major changes from...
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to Irene Costello interviewing Leo Lewis about a free trade zone in Shanghai, China. For each question, mark the best answer. A, B, or C. Tick one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Welcome to this week's World of Business and Finance. My name is Irene Costello, and with me in the studio today is Leo Lewis, an expert on China, especially China's business. Leo, what interesting topic are we going to look at?
In an effort to attract more foreign businesses, the Chinese government has set up the Shanghai Free Trade Zone in the Putong New Area. It was officially launched on 29 September 2013, and it is being used as a testing ground for a number of economic and social reforms. The government promoted this free trade area with slogans like, "Welcome to the future."
Well, China accepting free trade really does sound revolutionary, doesn't it?
Maybe. It actually is the first Hong Kong-like free trade area in mainland China. And mind you, not everybody was happy about it.
How come?
There was disagreement between the reformers and the conservatives, between those who wanted to move forward and those who wanted to keep things as they were. For example, the premier, who was supposed to make the long-awaited economic changes, didn't even come to the opening ceremony. Nor did he send a deputy. And the central bank didn't send their governor either.
What a shame. I'm sure the people who promoted the project must have been very disappointed. But anyway, now the free trade zone is there after all. How big is it?
It started with a 28 square kilometer section of the Putong New Area of Shanghai, where 36 enterprises and financial institutions received licenses to set up branches. Since April 2015, it has expanded to 120 square kilometers, and it's believed to eventually expand and include the whole Putong district, which covers 1,210 square kilometers of land. The zone is being used as a testing ground for a number of economic and social reforms and changes.
So, can we expect a completely new China?
Not so soon. China is moving slowly on this. For example, the banks, were promised that the Chinese yen could be freely exchanged into other currencies, and that interest rates would be market-based. This would make capital flow and banking business across the border easier. Some foreign banks then hurried into the Shanghai Free Trade Zone as quickly as possible, hoping to profit from being there among the first.
And have they been rewarded for their hurry?
No. They are still waiting for those promises to be fulfilled. Instead, they are looking at high costs and slim profits.
Why hasn't the government kept its promises?
A free financial market would show the weaknesses of the Chinese banks. They are completely controlled by the state. They might not be strong enough to deal with the consequences of a free financial market.
Does the free trade zone include more freedom in other areas, like social media, for example?
There used to be speculation that websites such as Facebook or Twitter might be available in the zone. So far, this hasn't happened either. Just like Yahoo, they are still blocked. However, this isn't a main worry of the Chinese population, as they have their own social media. And, by the way, a survey recently showed that the average Chinese internet user is online 2.7 hours a day. That is a lot more than in other developing countries. It's similar to what you find in Japan or the USA.
So, at least in that respect, China has already joined the industrialized countries.
Oh, definitely.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Welcome to this week's World of Business and Finance. My name is Irene Costello. And with me in the studio today is Leo Lewis, an expert on China, especially China's business. Leo, what interesting topic are we going to look at?
In an effort to attract more foreign businesses, the Chinese government has set up the Shanghai Free Trade Zone in the Putongnu area. It was officially launched on 29 September 2013, and it is being used as a testing ground for a number of economic and social reforms. The government promoted this free trade area with slogans like, "Welcome to the future."
Well, China accepting free trade really does sound revolutionary, doesn't it?
Maybe. It actually is the first Hong Kong-like free trade area in mainland China. And mind you, not everybody was happy about it.
How come?
There was disagreement between the reformers and the conservatives, between those who wanted to move forward and those who wanted to keep things as they were. For example, the premier, who was supposed to make the long-awaited economic changes, didn't even come to the opening ceremony. Nor did he send a deputy. And the central bank didn't send their governor either.
What a shame. I'm sure the people who promoted the project must have been very disappointed. But anyway, now the free trade zone is there after all. How big is it?
It started with a 28 square kilometer section of the Putongnu area of Shanghai, where 36 enterprises and financial institutions received licenses to set up branches. Since April 2015, it has expanded to 120 square kilometers, and it's believed to eventually expand and include the whole Putong district, which covers 1,210 square kilometers of land. The zone is being used as a testing ground for a number of economic and social reforms and changes.
So, can we expect a completely new China?
Not so soon. China is moving slowly on this. For example, the banks were promised that the Chinese yen could be freely exchanged into other currencies, and that interest rates would be market-based. This would make capital flow and banking business across the border easier. Some foreign banks then hurried into the Shanghai Free Trade Zone as quickly as possible, hoping to profit from being there among the first.
And have they been rewarded for their hurry?
No. They are still waiting for those promises to be fulfilled. Instead, they are looking at high costs and slim profits.
Why hasn't the government kept its promises?
A free financial market would show the weaknesses of the Chinese banks. They are completely controlled by the state. They might not be strong enough to deal with the consequences of a free financial market.
Does the free trade zone include more freedom in other areas, like social media, for example?
There used to be speculation that websites such as Facebook or Twitter might be available in the zone. So far, this hasn't happened either. Just like Yahoo, they are still blocked. However, this isn't a main worry of the Chinese population, as they have their own social media. And, by the way, a survey recently showed that the average Chinese internet user is online 2.7 hours a day. That is a lot more than in other developing countries. It's similar to what you find in Japan or the USA.
So, at least in that respect, China has already joined the industrialized countries.
Oh, definitely.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. Listen to Adrian Fernham talking to Tina Abrams on the effect of good looks on employment. Please fill in the gaps in the sentences below with the correct form of the keyword or keywords. Use one or two words. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. And here we go.
Welcome to our latest edition of Psychology at Work. My name is Tina Abrahams, and my guest today is Adrian Fernham. Adrian, is the impression correct that somehow life is easier for good-looking people, that they tend to have an advantage even in working life?
Well, it's not an absolute rule, but various studies actually prove that physically attractive people are treated better at work. This may not seem logical. After all, you would think that a person's qualifications and professional skills are what counts. And of course, they are important. But not only. And if you have equally well-qualified people, the better-looking ones have various advantages. For example, they're more likely to be selected for a job to start with. And once they have a job, it's easier for them to get promoted and better paid than their less attractive colleagues.
That's interesting. Somehow people seem to believe that if somebody is good-looking, they're also good at what they do.
Exactly. Different studies found that physical characteristics have an effect on how you're treated at work.
Would you have some examples?
For one thing, height is related to pay and chances of promotion, especially in men. Also, an attractive face can lead to a higher salary because it's often seen as a sign of competence.
Really? How come?
The reasons, I don't know. Somehow the human mind just seems to function that way.
Are there also any features which have a negative effect?
Yes. Obesity, for example, or overweight, influences many factors, such as selection for jobs, promotion and salary.
That seems unfair, don't you think?
I agree. However, in some cases, good looks can also be a disadvantage. Some studies found that for very attractive people, the chances of being hired are smaller if the person in charge of the hiring is of the same sex and not as good-looking.
Oh, I know what you mean. And is there anything a company can do to prevent discrimination based on looks?
Yes, there are various possibilities. For example, when hiring new staff, they could introduce application forms without photographs. For the job interviews, they could have a man and woman team. And finally, if an interview tests for professional skills in the first place, then factors like looks are obviously less important.
Adrian, thank you for coming here today.
You're going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Welcome to our latest edition of Psychology at Work. My name is Tina Abrahams, and my guest today is Adrian Furnham. Adrian, is the impression correct that somehow life is easier for good-looking people, that they tend to have an advantage even in working life?
Well, it's not an absolute rule, but various studies actually prove that physically attractive people are treated better at work. This may not seem logical. After all, you would think that a person's qualifications and professional skills are what counts. And of course, they are important. But not only. And if you have equally well-qualified people, the better-looking ones have various advantages. For example, they're more likely to be selected for a job to start with. And once they have a job, it's easier for them to get promoted and better paid than their less attractive colleagues.
That's interesting. Somehow people seem to believe that if somebody is good-looking, they're also good at what they do.
Exactly. Different studies found that physical characteristics have an effect on how you're treated at work.
Would you have some examples?
For one thing, height is related to pay and chances of promotion, especially in men. Also, an attractive face can lead to a higher salary because it's often seen as a sign of competence.
Really? How come?
The reasons, I don't know. Somehow the human mind just seems to function that way.
Are there also any features which have a negative effect?
Yes. Obesity, for example, or overweight, influences many factors, such as selection for jobs, promotion and salary.
That seems unfair, don't you think?
I agree. However, in some cases, good looks can also be a disadvantage. Some studies found that for very attractive people, the chances of being hired are smaller if the person in charge of the hiring is of the same sex and not as good-looking.
Oh, I know what you mean. And is there anything a company can do to prevent discrimination based on looks?
Yes, there are various possibilities. For example, when hiring new staff, they could introduce application forms without photographs. For the job interviews, they could have a man and woman team. And finally, if an interview tests for professional skills in the first place, then factors like looks are obviously less important.
Adrian, thank you for coming here today.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.